beans. Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Diana?
I can
Derek?
Feel it.
Ow!
Wow!
Keep that statism out of my head.
And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And tonight is a super duper extra special episode. This will be probably about 32% fiendier than normal.
Yay!
Today is Derek J's 27th birthday.
You Woo! Say it's your birthday. Da, na, 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 na. It's my birthday too. No, it's not really my birthday.
Yeah. Party all night with the fiends.
Woohoo.
Yeah. So we've got extra fiend love tonight.
Yeah, extra. I mean, it's new and improved and even fiendier.
Right.
So let's hear about all your antics and adventures for the day, Derek. I know you're pretty darn busy. I saw a Facebook.
Oh my gosh. Everyone should have a life as good as I have right now today. This was the greatest birthday ever. I started out, like, I walked into, my phone's been all cracked. I walked into my office and saw there was a brand new phone
Aww.
That my partner Steven had gotten me. It was so sweet. He knew I needed one. It's going to be like a real level up. You know, like, in this... I don't know. How often do you have your phone in your hand? Do you have your phone in your hand right now?
No, it's sitting.
I just
sitting
picked
in,
it up.
It's sitting right in front of me. Oh, wait. Now I have it in my hand.
I know. Seriously, it's always at arm's reach. And this
right.
is like, as we move into cyborg ages, I feel like it's coming through our hands, through the phones. Like, people saw cyborgs with these... eye machines where you can see up on a heads-up display or something. Anyway, I like using an iPhone. You know, I wasn't sure about whether or not it should be Android or not, but it makes a person so much more powerful to be able to use one of these machines and to have one broken and gone, you know, made a big deal. So I was really happy about that. We went out to brunch. We took a scenic drive, and we got a lot of good work done. We did Bikram yoga. And I sweat
Whoa.
So hard.
Had you ever done that before?
We do it every day. We do it 5 days a week. We love
Are you serious?
To sweat.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I do it in the cute little shorts. I sit right up in the front next
Fiend
to the mirror,
phone.
You know, so everyone
Fiend
can
phone.
See. And I sweat buckets. I bring
Yeah,
you know,
I can't deal. I can't deal with that. Not Bikram.
Have you've never done it?
No, I have done it. I have done
it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I just can't. That's
it's a hot room.
I get
for
so
people who don't know.
Yeah, it's a very hot room that you're doing yoga in. I think that there's different levels, but I think usually it's at least above 100 degrees in there. And
yeah, so I think it's like 130 degrees. I don't know.
I don't
it's
know
so
about that
hot.
Much, but yeah.
I'm
well,
back.
I'm dying.
Welcome I know back, man. We know
and,
you're back.
And I have my phone in my hand.
Oh, thank goodness. So you weren't really lost.
Yeah, no. so we're talking about that Derek did his Bikram yoga today that he does every day. I don't even know how he does that, but
no,
I think everyone
hot,
should.
The hot yoga.
Yeah, everyone's got to try this. I mean, if you haven't yet, you're missing out. They've got introductory offers all over, and it's the same thing everywhere. So,
yeah.
You know, they do the same process. For people who don't know, it's a 90-minute class. It's always the same postures. There are 26 of them. You
right.
do them twice every time. Every class is basically like a beginner's class. They have these weird floors that soak in your sweat because you are going to sweat.
Yeah, it's so gross, and it stinks, and it's just like...
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my opinion. Everyone should try it, like you said, but yeah.
There's one thing that I've heard about it, and can you confirm this, Derek? Does it warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a
sinful
out of laziness out of you?
I wish that were true.
Yeah.
Only the fiends do that. But it was an awesome class. You know, I made some of my personal best. That's one of the fun things about yoga. Like, I never like going to the gym. I don't know about you guys.
I love yoga. I actually love yoga. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Do you ever lift weights and like try and work out your muscles?
Yeah, I enjoy strength training and yoga and things like that more so than I do cardio, actually.
Blech. I cannot stand it. I hate it. I'm sitting in those machines and moving your legs and doing it, it feels like the machine is using me, you know? Like, I'm not using the machine.
Like a hamster on a wheel.
Well, you can do strength training with just your body weight, though. You know, push-ups and things like that. So anyway, well, I mean, I think, you know, with yoga, you actually do get a lot of the benefit of strength training, though.
You do. You move your body in all these different ways. Mm-hmm. The benefit I like the most, though, is just stretching.
Yeah, stretching.
Stretching out and feeling my spine lengthen. I'm 10 inches taller. You're not going to recognize me next time you see me. Yeah, it's like I walked on the moon.
Yeah, it actually stands. There's actually some truth to that, though. Not so much 10 inches, but I mean, it has, at least anecdotally, people can like increase their height by a little bit at least. I know my daughter actually did. She was pretty thrilled to go from 5'1 to 5'2, but that could have been a growth spurt.
It's great. Here's the other last thing I'll leave people with. If you have like joint pain or some kind of muscle soreness, I didn't even realize that my shoulders were like closed in and I was hunching over.
Yeah.
My posture's improved and it's so much better now. So give it a try and see what you don't even know about your body.
Do you think that there will be yoga classes at Porkfest?
There always are. Yeah, there's always yoga at Pork. Are you going? Are you going to be at Porkfest?
Yeah, I'm going. I'll be there. I'm actually going to be getting there on Saturday the 18th, but I have to leave on Wednesday. So,
cool. Well, I know. I'm excited to see you.
Yeah, me too.
At least you get to do some shows from there.
Yeah.
The live Porkfest shows or something else. And Lou, did I hear you? What's your status on that?
I will be arriving, I think, sometime on Sunday and departing the following Sunday.
All right.
Or something to that effect. So, hey, yes, you know, I will be there.
Fiendfest Somalia is happening right at Porkfest, you know.
Yeah.
So I hope that we all get to be a part of the Fiendfest.
Yeah.
And Baconfest will be going on during this time also.
No way. Assault Kitchen and all?
The Assault Kitchen will be there.
Cue the music. Wow.
And practice bacon. Yay.
What's a practice bacon?
What's a practice bacon?
You don't know what practice... Oh, my God. Right, practice bacon is... And this is completely an anarchist invention. When you're a kid and mom's making bacon and...
Oh, like I see where this is going.
And, you know, she can only make like 6 slices a time, so she'll make... You know, one skillet and then throw it on the paper towel to drain and you'll go to grab it. And she'll smack your hand with a wooden spoon and set you back years in penmanship. Well, anyway, the way practice bacon works is instead of having to wait for cold bacon with the main meal, you get to eat practice bacon as a hors d'oeuvre until like the omelets and everything else come out.
Yes.
And then when the eggs and potatoes and all that other stuff are ready, practice bacon becomes main course bacon.
Main course, right. It's just bacon all day, really.
Yeah.
But Lou's house has a moat of bacon.
Yeah. But the thing is, you get to eat bacon before the meal and not take a wooden spoon to the knuckles.
Man.
That's a bonus.
Now I understand why the Assault Kitchen. You have really suffered for your craft.
Yeah, it has a cyclic rate of 30 pounds of bacon per minute.
Wow.
It has the shoulder thing that goes up.
I've never even heard of that being measured, but that sounds like a lot.
It does sound like a lot. And maybe a bit of an exaggeration. I don't know.
You haven't seen the modifications.
Oh, you've made modifications? What?
You need special permits in several states for this thing now.
Well, I hear it's BIPCOT no-gov licensed, so that should cover all the permits required.
Yes.
Absolutely. No gov.
Yeah, because I mean, we can't have people going around with unregulated assault kitchens without permits or anything like that. And you got to be able to like, take a course or something like that to show that you can safely use one.
Worms.
So I have a special announcement.
Yes?
This Saturday, I will officially be 6 months as a non-smoker. I will be 6 months tobacco-free on Saturday.
Hey, man, Saturday. Good for you.
That's awesome.
I'm kind of proud of myself because the last time I quit smoking for 6 months, I think I was like 12. And I'm also 2 months and 23 days without killing anybody, so yay me.
Wow.
Congratulations. That's quite the accomplishment.
No, I wasn't a smoker at 12. I think the last time I went this long, I was 16, maybe 17.
Wow. That was a long time ago.
How did you start?
I think pretty much like everybody else in my peer group and probably most youth around the world, other people were doing it, and it's like, well, hey, let's be cool. And
yeah,
said, yeah, let's give this a shot.
Do you remember? Sorry, where did you get your first one?
Friends walking home from school.
Wow, that sounds exactly like my experience. 12 years old. Yep. First cigarette made me completely sick to my stomach, and I mean at first it made me feel high, and I was like, whoa, no wonder people like love smoking. And then I got sick, right. But then I just kept right on doing it because that's the way my sick brain works.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like the first year or so of smoking, or first 6 months, it was great because you could get that head rush when you smoked.
Yeah.
And when I first started smoking, I wasn't inhaling because I didn't know about that. All I knew was you put it in your mouth, it's lit up, you drag it in, and you blow out. I didn't know the whole thing about taking the smoke in your lungs and you know, actually having a lung come out from the cough.
You weren't an advanced smoker yet.
Right. You know, I didn't have proper training in the techniques and everything. But eventually I got it. I think accidentally I had some smoke actually hit the lung. And I was like, you know, doing my Michael Dean impersonation many years before I even knew who he was. And it was like, well, yeah, this coughing thing isn't so good, but, you know, I like this head rush. And, you know, of course it's cool and I'm part of the gang or whatever. And 30 years and probably close to $30,000 later, here I am coughing my lungs out. So I quit because I just couldn't do it anymore. And I'm not going to the teaching hospice yet, but I couldn't do it anymore.
That's Could awesome. You imagine picturing every cigarette you ever smoked piled up in a building? How many buildings would it fill?
All right, and with that, we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Meow. Well, it's because we started at the same time. I had to out-meow you.
Meow.
Hey, so congratulations, Lou, on 6 months. You know, that's a big accomplishment. I'm sure a lot of listeners have struggled with smoking cessation themselves. And how'd you do it? I mean, did you go cold turkey?
Going cold turkey probably wasn't an option for me. I used the patch, and then I got some lozenges, but I wound up not using them. Because I read the instructions, they kind of creeped me out a little bit. So I used lemon drops.
Hmm.
And
Those are pretty good, except they got that sugary coating on the outside of them. So if you put them in your mouth,
good, though.
Yeah, but if you put them in your mouth and have them in the same spot, it'll like rub the roof of your mouth or the side of your cheek raw. So you gotta kind of move it around until you get that off of there. But anyway, I decided to go with the patch, and I think in my first week, after a week or two. I didn't use the patch for like a day or two because I had forgotten about it, and I didn't want to put it on in the evening time because I heard that you could have, you know, silly nightmares and dreams, and it could keep you awake. So, but I think the second Saturday night. So I think that was a week, or is it the second week? I was really, really fiending because I wasn't using the patch, and I had thought that, oh yeah, this is just a placebo.
You were really, really what? What were you doing?
I was fiending. I was doing it for a cigarette.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I thought you said
fiending. You were really fiending. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I was fiending. But I didn't really think that the patch had been doing that much until I was without it. So I'm like, this is a placebo. This is just scotch tape that says Nicorette or whatever it is on it. And it turned out that actually was helpful. But just what I went through in that scotch day, tape. I don't think I would have done well going cold turkey. So I did use a nicotine substitute. And there's different ways of looking at that. One, it does prolong the addiction. But part of what it did was it helped me to get away from the actual physical smoking part. The actual habit of it. Because when I drive anywhere, that's when I have a tendency to smoke a lot.
It's easy. You're just sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, it's something to do to pass the time and help you focus.
Yeah.
Did smoking help you focus? Sorry.
Maybe a little bit, but I could drive for an hour and to like the next big town over and go through 3 to 5 cigarettes without really even thinking about it.
It can be a mindless habit for sure.
Yeah. So one of the other things that I did was I really disrupted my schedule before I stopped because I did plan out
on purpose.
Yes. Because if you're one of these people that you get up first thing in the morning, you go outside and have a cigarette or you light up in the house, whatever, that becomes your habit. And you associate the first part of the day or right after a meal with having a cigarette. So what I did was I wasn't smoking my first cigarette until I was leaving for work. So I was disrupting that. And I probably should have. It didn't impact me, but I probably should have not smoked in the car on the way to work.
Mm.
But I didn't change that. But I aside from the driving, I changed the times that I had my cigarette breaks, or like right after a meal, I wouldn't go have a cigarette right away. I'd wait 20, 30 minutes, you know, something like that, just to disrupt that schedule and come off of autopilot.
You really attacked the psychology of the addiction that you had, this habit that you had formed.
Yeah. And of course they do have with the patches, it is a step down therapy because like it's 21 milligrams, 14 milligrams, and then 7 milligrams. And particularly towards the end, I was trying to reduce the amount that I was doing. So like I was cutting patches, you know, cutting parts of the patch off to reduce the actual dosage. Because the patch is the same strength, it's just a different size cut that they give you.
Oh, that's crazy. So you can cut up the patch and make it a little less. Did you smoke while you were on the patch? No. I hear you're not supposed to do that.
No.
Yeah,
When I put down my pack, I did not cheat once. I did not, you know, take
that's
a puff.
What it's about. It's about the willpower. You know, you made the decision that this is what you were going to do, and that's... Seems like that's why it worked out.
It boils down to a choice. It boils down to a decision. Yeah. Making a decision and sticking to it is what it boils down to, basically.
Basically, yeah.
Basically.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Flirting around.
And we're back with the Freedom Fiends. And so we're going to get down to business. We're going to start talking about some important stuff.
We
not that Derek's birthday. Not that Derek's birthday is not important. That's
come on.
That's important thing.
We're talking about smoking. Everyone can relate to quitting smoking.
That's true.
Everyone's been affected by that, by someone in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's one more thing that I want to talk about, and Diana brought this up, about former smokers or ex-smokers just being absolute jerks. And when I announced, I think I had announced when I was like, 1 week off of tobacco here on the show, and I says, "Now I'm not going to be one of these people that's just an absolute jerk and won't shut up about it. I don't want to be like a CrossFit vegan." So I didn't want to be that reform smoker that was busting everybody's chops. You need to quit like I did.
Mm-hmm. You know,
well, hey, lay off.
Yeah. Well, why didn't I quit? You know, 20 years ago when somebody else was busting my chops about, but. I personally think the not yakking about it nonstop and not being a jerk about it is an anarchist type thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you look at the statist mentality is somebody who barks at other people to try and get them to conform to their views.
Exactly.
Of what should be.
Right.
So because I am not a statist, because I am an anarchist, which means other people are not my property and leave people mm-hmm. alone. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot easier to not bust their chops over it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, live and let live.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah, absolutely.
So anarchism, because anything anarchism. Less would be uncivilized and jerky.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
mind your own business, live and let live. You know, and I mean, I think that in a way ties in nicely a little bit with one of the articles that we may or may not get to talk about. I've learned to not really necessarily commit to some of these articles that we think we're going to talk about. But
yeah, let's talk about this right now. Let's talk about how some people voted because they couldn't live and let others live.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
You're recently down in Austin, so tell us the story here.
Yeah. Well,
tell us how Austin went back. Tell us about how Austin went back to the 1980s.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was recently in San Antonio this past weekend, and because I have family down there. And I went out one night. It's a cute side story that I won't go into about my dad. But anyway, so my dad, I actually went out with my dad, but my dad went home early. And I just have to share it.
I'm curious. So what's your dad doing?
Well, so I'm a grown woman and have been for quite some time.
I'm a grown woman.
But I went out to this really cool like honky tonk joint there near San Antonio called Flores Country Store.
Is a honky tonk place?
I don't know. It's like a dive bar, like a honky tonk, like, you know, where you get like, you know, people go and drink and like listen to some, you know, I mean, they weren't really local bands, I don't think, but, you know, it's just kind of like, and it wasn't country music, but it was just kind of down home sort of, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to describe the music, like kind of like roots music in a way. But, but anyway, so, you know, it was a lot of fun, but my dad wanted to go home early. I wanted to finish listening to the band. So I decided I would take an Uber. My dad was being really overprotective. And I thought in a way that was so cute. He was like, "Well, I'll just wait in the car for you." And I'm like, "No, you don't have to do that."
There's rock and roll in there, Diana.
Yeah, I know. I'll grab an Uber. But anyway, so the point is that I got an Uber and I was talking because I'm actually considering just to supplement my income, becoming an Uber driver myself. And so I was talking to her a little bit about it, and she mentioned that the market there in San Antonio has really been flooded with Uber drivers from Austin, because Austin did not outlaw Uber, but what they did, or what the people, you know, decided, in other words, according to
it was not the people.
It was not the people. You're right, but it was like according to this article in Forbes, by losing Uber, Austin is no longer a tech capital. The city had ordinances already in place for taxi drivers that they had to comply with. Fingerprinting being, you know, probably the one biggest issue. And they decided to pass an ordinance with really without, I don't think, without any of the population, without their input. That Uber and Lyft, which is another ride sharing company, that they had to also comply with those same ordinances. And Uber was like, no. And they, you know, they outlined a really good, you know, some really, you know, valid reasons why. You know, it's like, for one, you know, they already have their own background checking in place, which seems to be very effective. And the other thing is that it just would have, it would have cost them a lot of money in, because fingerprinting is a process and it's done by bureaucrats, and it takes a while, you know, to actually, you know, verify that, I guess, the people are safe or whatever based on fingerprints. And fingerprinting really is not even that effective in the first place. And the article goes into detail as to why. But Uber and Lyft, you know, they said, you know what, we're not going to comply with that. You know, that this is not, it's not part of our business model. You know, we're just not going to do it. And so they decided to end, in their services within the city limits of Austin. And, you know, one of the things that it says here about fingerprinting, in the article, it says, the fingerprinting sounds secure. There are many problems with this type of background check. As the Cato Institute's Matthew Feeney told me, and this is me being the author of the article, Feeney, I know, fingerprinting is not as effective as Hollywood might have you believe. The FBI fingerprint database is incomplete, in part because it relies on police departments and other local sources adding relevant data and keeping that data updated, which we all know that is never the case.
They are right on top of it.
Right. In addition, Feeney told me that the FBI database includes the fingerprints of people who were arrested but later found not guilty. So relying on fingerprints for rideshare background checks might sound appealing, but it will almost certainly result in otherwise qualified and safe drivers being denied the opportunity to use ride-sharing services. And, you know, obviously, you know, we should, you know that more than likely, and I'm not really seeing so much, you know, that they talk about, you know, the taxi lobby or whatever, but, you know, of course that they're involved. And you know, it's like the other thing it says is that the new regulations were nothing more than a way to, quote unquote, level the playing field, according to the regulations proponents. God, that just drives me insane. Okay. However, there are two ways to level a regulatory playing field. One involves placing additional hurdles on new technologies, while the other focuses on lowering existing barriers, which we all know is obviously preferable. So make it like Lou said earlier off air, you know, just like, instead of making it suck more for everyone, make it suck less for everyone.
Yeah. And that's one of the solutions that both left and right seem to come up with is, well, I mean, if we have to suffer, then everybody else should have to suffer. And, yeah. And they completely eliminate the possibility of nobody suffering.
Exactly.
Because this quest for equality is... It's like the story Harrison Bergeron, except it's not quite as draconian and with the implements actually being put in place. Are you guys familiar with that story?
Yeah, it's a beautiful one, and there's even a short YouTube version representation if people want to check it out. Harrison Bergeron, where people, well, I don't want to give it away, but
I actually heard that story in elementary school. The teacher actually read it to us. This was the 70s. It's not something that you would hear a teacher giving it, and there wasn't any of this
1870s,
you know, 1970s, little young punk. you and Nick, you're the same age or something like that. but anyway, with the teacher reading it, she didn't say, now listen to all this great equality, look at how the government made things fair for everybody. There was none of that stuff. As a matter of fact, she didn't say a whole lot. She just read it, and the feeling of horror just spread across the entire classroom, because everybody's like, what in the Feinstein is going on? I'm, you know, who would think that this is a good idea? And here we are in the 21st century, and people are darn near calling for that sort of activity, if not literally, then definitely metaphorically.
Yeah. And now all of Lou Fiend's kindergarten class are anarchists.
I wish.
Hey, but there's hope. There's a silver lining to this cloud. There's Arcade City.
I'm not familiar.
What? Oh, man. Yeah, it's a ride-sharing app that is a different kind of concept where, you know how Uber and Lyft, they have to pull out of Austin because they don't comply with the regulations or whatever, but Arcade City is a open source sort of app where in Austin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, in most places, it would be just like an app, just like Lyft or Uber. Mm-hmm. But in Austin in particular, there's a Facebook page that has like 30,000 people on it where you can request a ride or go and say you'll pick someone up. So people just post to a Facebook page mm-hmm. and say where they are. And, like, immediately, within a minute, you know, they're going to get a response of someone going to pick them up.
And, oh, this is awesome.
That can't be stopped.
Right. So I just Googled Arcade City and immediately came up with a page that says, Dear Austin, Uber and Lyft are gone. Here's why Arcade City is coming to your town. And it goes on to say, we've got a radical idea for you, Austin. What if riders and drivers were free to connect peer-to-peer with no middleman? And, you know, we know you're accustomed to dealing with archaic institutions like governments and corporations. We believe there's a better. This is awesome. So it's the website appears to be arcade.city.
Yeah.
These
guys rock. I mean, they've mm-hmm. got it right. So I think the concept developed by there's such a thing as like specialty cars. So there are taxis, right? And that's a certain kind of car. And that's why the government people want to regulate them and say, mm-hmm. oh, you know, we control you. But then there are other kinds of cars like limos and specialty cars where, and I think that's where Arcade City fits. They are an arcade. It's a moving arcade, and every car has a Rubik's Cube. So you can play a game as you're being transported. And if you pay the driver, you know, you can negotiate a rate yourselves or agree on a price ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You're not paying for the ride. You're paying for a moving arcade.
Right.
So, you know, I think they can find a safe way to obey all the laws, but still let free people have rides.
Yeah, this looks really cool. This is like a step above. So
the things people have to do to be free in America.
Yeah.
Check the troops.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
So with this whole Austin thing with Uber, and I read about this right after it happened, there was a vote round about something like that. Mm-hmm. And my understanding of this is a tiny fraction of the population showed up to vote. And
17% of the voting population, basically.
Yeah.
Isn't that about normal? I mean, that's not a tiny percent. That's
no, it's
average.
Not. It's not. But considering the fact that, I'm not a fan, or I don't propose, you know, petitions and things like that. I don't believe in begging the government for anything. But Uber, you know, they had a petition for their wanted another ordinance that would actually favor, you know, keeping things the way they are, essentially.
That is so weak.
Yeah, I mean, I know, but then they got like 65,000 signatures, but then when it came time for people to actually vote on that, like Lou said, fairly well, not, you know, I think, like you said, Derek, that that's pretty typical, that that fairly small amount of the voting. Yeah, fairly small amount of registered voters that actually ever turn out to vote for anything. But yeah, it was 17%. And I think that they got, it was 30 something thousand that ended up voting against the ordinance. Yeah,
it was a special referendum too. I mean, like,
yeah,
it's 20%
yeah.
for normal stuff. And, yeah. and everyone knows that the general election is coming. I think it was mostly people who were mobilized who want to be against the tourists. Because, like, how could anyone be against getting rides or having taxis? This wouldn't affect you if you didn't
right.
live there and you didn't...
Right.
Support the taxi monopoly or just want to keep tourists out. Like, Austin's one of those booming towns where people are coming in at a rate where the locals are uncomfortable with it. I think they're trying to make it unfriendly for new people to come in. Because if you're visiting a town, you're going to need a taxi. If you're mm-hmm. a tourist visiting, you know, different museums and stuff,
right.
I mean, that's the only way it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And they just don't have, like, they don't have the ability to use your phone, hit a few taps, and then a car shows up to bring you home.
Right.
I'm going to throw out a possibility there. And this is probably the worst possibility. This is worse than using government to eliminate competition or to keep people out because you want peace and quiet. I personally believe that a lot of the folks that are voting on this sort of thing are the ones that have been indoctrinated in the government gulag.
Oh, of course.
And
yeah.
and what they're saying is, it's not that they want to keep people out, or it's not that they want to protect the taxis, but they want government to get in there and control and regulate
mm-hmm.
this part of the economy. And because government has not destroyed it yet, it means that government's not doing enough. So these people
right.
are just—they're just being filthy statists.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of propaganda, you know, from Austin's point of view about, you know, they should require, like, maybe, you know, they put out there that the background checks that these ride sharing companies are currently using are not effective enough, and a lot, I think that the majority of, you know, maybe not very educated people think that fingerprinting is actually an effective way to figure out if somebody is safe or not. And go ahead.
It's a gift. I mean, it's a gift because it produces things like Arcade City.
And
start trying to ban these technologies where people are free to interact with each other and make choices. You know, mm-hmm. how dare they? I mean, it's going to happen whether they like it or not. They can try and squash it, but they only make it the alternative stronger.
Yeah, and yeah, and in spite of government, you know, they're like you said. I mean, it's like, it just makes me think of, like, what is it, Pop-a-Mole, or no, what is it?
Yeah,
you know, you try to keep these whack-a-mole. Yeah, so you try to keep them, and they're gonna just keep popping up, and it's absolutely wonderful. I mean, it's human ingenuity at its greatest, and I love it.
It's market actors and innovation going up against government and lack of innovation. So
right, exactly.
And one of the art problems is
most
people associate a government program with the result that's advertised, yet that never happens. War on poverty, more poverty. War on drugs, more drugs.
Yeah.
War on crime, more crime.
War on crime, more crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on Uber, and you get arcade Rubik's Cubes in the backseat. We'll be back with a second hour. Freedom Fiends.
Meow!
Worms.
Back to the loo.
Worms.
Arcade.city.
Yay.
Freedom. Technology routes around damage. Routes around the government.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Oh, good. Okay. talking about Pork Fest, and we're in by saying. Yeah, it's like,
do we want to do the second hour intro?
I will do that. I'll do it. Okay. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region, which, by the way, Alpha Centauri has definitely heard the Fiends broadcast by now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Ew. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
I like that. I'm going to use that a lot more as an argument.
Like, governments, ew.
Ew.
Bad touch. Icky.
Bad touch. Bad touch.
Didn't you say that in your film, Derek, when you were being arrested one of the many times? Yeah, you know, like the cops going to pat you down, you're like, bad touch, bad touch.
Yeah, no, I sarcastically mocked how he seemed to enjoy feeling me up and down as he was patting me for weapons, I guess, or for drugs, whatever.
Well, for as often as you get arrested, I wonder if you have a handcuff fetish or you just love a man in uniform.
Both. You know,
why not both? Hello.
Yeah. Keene is such a small town. I actually did some digging and found out that the cop who arrested me, his brother is gay and is also on Facebook. And I was like, oh, so I wonder if he had some sort of, like, it was the guy who pepper sprayed me after I said I didn't want to get in the police car and stuff.
Oh my God.
So I thought maybe he had some, like, internal stuff that he hasn't worked out yet about his
brother. Some latent stuff. Oh, okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here, let me take it out on Derek J because reasons.
Reasons. Hey,
you know, you were talking about Pork Fest, and I wanted to share that a French reporter got in touch with me, said he wanted to record the Fiends and see what was going on. I heard about this. Yeah. So he's going to be there at Pork Fest, and he really wants people to open carry. And there's tons of that at Pork Fest, but what I was thinking was we could get some Fiends to go together and go to, like, the grocery store or some, like, cute little shop. We'll think of something funny, and he'll take some pictures of us, some video of us walking around with guns.
Speaking of which, is there, okay, so I have a firearm and everything, and I was thinking that I would have liked to have brought it, but I'm flying, and I don't know, can you pack your firearm and, like, check it?
Yeah, totally. If it's
really
legal where you're landing, then it's legal. Like, if from the to and the from destination, it would be legal for you to have that, then you can have that.
Okay. Should I keep it loaded, or should I handle that? Unloaded.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now also be careful if you're
I can't bring ammo then.
You can bring ammo, it just has to be in a separate container. It can't be a loaded gun.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now be careful if you're flying over New York State. It would be a shame if Nanny Bloomberg had the plane shot down because he thought you had a gun with you.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll stay on top of that.
But people do that all the time. In fact, there was a really cool photo of John McAfee, one of the Libertarian Party presidential candidates.
Like the only cool one of the lot.
Why are you lying?
I still would never have voted for him, but still, the only cool one of the lot.
Because it's the Libertarian Party.
Yeah.
But he's cool. I don't know.
He's cool, but he's still a status scumbag.
Yeah.
He wants to rule people.
Oh, man.
He's a cool status scumbag.
You've got high standards.
I just have tough standards.
Tough to impress,
man. That's the thing. Well, here's the thing. If the Libertarian Party platform has the zero aggression principle in it, and the candidates can't explain what it is, or one of them outright rejects the zero aggression principle, then that means that the Libertarian Party is just as unprincipled as the Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, that was pretty embarrassing.
The Republicans
and Democrats didn't have anyone naked running up on their stage.
I know that guy.
Yeah, it's James Weeks.
I had a feeling you would.
It's not a pretty sight either.
Yeah, but I met him.
I do have to give the LP credit for one thing. They did something that the GOP could only dream about in 2016. They nominated a Republican for their presidential candidate. And I do have to congratulate James on his fat guy stripping thing, mm-hmm. because the message was the emperor is naked. And so,
James
almost was too. But James provided something to the Libertarian Party and the convention that it sorely needed, meaning a pulse.
Yeah, definitely. Fair. Yeah, so there was a Salon article, and obviously I didn't know we were going to mention this, but there was a Salon article, and they were just, if the Libertarian Party wants people to take them seriously, blah, blah, blah. And it's just kind of like, okay, so this whole thing is just like, it just recognizing it, like you said, that the emperor is naked, it's like just recognizing it for the bull crap that it is, whole political process. So, and calling that out.
Well, so, who's going to carry guns with me around town in Lancaster?
Will. Now that I know that I can bring mine on, as long as I check it on, in my bag and everything, I absolutely will. I just need to get a holster.
Make sure.
Can you believe I don't have a holster?
Yeah. What do you just carry it around in your hand?
Well, I haven't really done that yet. I haven't really open carried yet. I know. It's so bad. But hey,
It's fun. It's cool. I've gotten comments from people around. It's, of course, legal here everywhere in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And a little old lady came up to me in Walmart and was like, I just noticed that you're open carrying it. I think that's great. My children open carry, and I'd like to see more of that.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, it's great. It's like people taking personal responsibility for their safety. I'm like, oh my gosh, this old lady gets it. How cool. So. Yeah. Let's show them what it's about.
And did she say, you got to keep you and your gat intact?
Yes.
And then did she say, I'm so hard, B word, I keep two in the chamber?
No, but I just started doing B-word. That. I just started carrying one in the chamber. Do you carry, Lou? I'm going to assume the answer is yes. But do you carry one in the chamber? Meaning a bullet that's loaded, ready to fire?
Yeah.
So I wasn't doing that.
I have a revolver, so no.
if I have a firearm on me, it is hot. It's ready to go.
Yeah. And why do you say you wouldn't do that, Diana?
Why wouldn't do what? I have a revolver.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you have it loaded?
I'm saying it is loaded. It's just it's impossible for me to have one in the chamber though.
You have like six in the chamber, right? Or whatever.
Okay, so all right. I'm still kind of clueless.
What some people do, what some people with revolvers do is they have the hammer down when they're carrying, and that particular chamber in the cylinder will be empty.
Yeah. That's a nice safe way to do it, right?
Yeah.
So they're actually carrying five.
Right. That makes sense. Well, it made me nervous, to be honest. When I started open carrying, I carried without one in the chamber so that I had to rack the slide. It would be like a two-handed operation. It'd take an extra second or two. But, I'm thinking, well, what if I'm like shot in the arm or something? What if I'm disabled in some way that I can't use both hands? I mean, it doesn't make sense to have a gun and not be ready to use it, So
What brand of firearm do you use?
A Glock. I'm carrying a Glock 26.
Okay, good. All right, so
I have a Ruger. In case you wanted to know, you didn't ask me.
Well, you have a revolver. That's all I need to know.
Okay. Now,
the thing about the Glock is it doesn't have a safety.
Is that some shade? Like what? What are you, anti-revolver?
No. I have a 357 revolver that I'm rather fond of.
Yeah, that's what mine is. Is a 357.
Well, ooh, good for you. Wow, that's some power in it.
Mm-hmm. You go with your bad self, Diana.
I want one of those Dirty Harry guns, the long 44 Magnum. Isn't that what he had?
Yeah, you're going to have to do a lot of yoga to be able to handle that one. I fired a 44 Magnum, and
oh my god!
After like five rounds, the palm of my hand was just hit, and I was using specials. I wasn't even using the Magnum rounds. I was using 44 specials, and that thing kicks like a mule. But
did you feel lucky?
Yeah. Yeah, I did feel lucky, but with the Glock that you carry, it doesn't have a safety lever on it. So the safety is you keep your
fiend
finger
phone, forever. Fiend phone,
and the trigger itself has a little detent in there.
We have a new guest,
and you have to actually be pulling that back in order to discharge the firearm.
What are you tugging on?
So,
where have you been?
I've been listening. The Fiend Phone Unnecessary Random Reeducation Interruption Exigency System, or what is
or
it?
Or furries.
Diana? Furries.
Get the Nair. Get the Nair.
Yeah, get the Nair.
So, go ahead, Liz. So the bottom line, Derek, is if you keep your finger off the trigger, you don't have to worry about accidentally discharging.
Ah. Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't going to come on, but I wanted to wish Derek a happy birthday.
Aww. Oh, thanks, Michael.
And I don't know if you've been following my tweets. I've been live tweeting the show.
Have you I saw you.
Oh, you have been? Oh, let me check it out.
Yeah. I tweeted, what was it? Not Detroit Rock City. What's it called? Arcade City.
Arcade City. Arcade that was City. Cool. Yeah.
Arcade City for horrors. Yeah. So you'd hook up with horrors and they would bring a Rubik's Cube. And then Arcade City for heroin, buffering hard. I tagged Miller Miller in that, counting buttons, hashtag counting buttons. And then I said, open carrying at Gigi Allen's grave in New Hampshire, squawk bowls, fiends, lib pair, freaking out my French. I think that's where you guys take it. Take it, man. Go.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah. So we have to make sure, because I'm only going to be there till Wednesday. So we have to make sure we go to Gigi Allen's grave before I leave.
Yeah.
Can we please do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I also tweeted losing your open carry virginity at Porkfest.
Yeah. Diana. I saw. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I saw that. Yeah.
The other reason I got on here was I was a little concerned, and I have some suggestions for Diana. I think.
Oh, Lord.
Diana, I think you need to go take a safety course. A 3-hour safety course before you go open carry for the first time around 1,000 drunk people.
Okay, well, I'll take that under consideration.
No, you'll do it. I mean, you said something that made me really worried about guns. I don't remember what it was, but you were like, oh, well, I'll have my hammer down with the hammer down on the...
No,
on the
4x4
with the CBs and the pig in the sky.
I did not say that.
What's up, buddy?
I said nothing about having the hammer down. That was not me.
You don't know. Well, you don't know.
Replay the
what
tape.
A chamber is. You don't know what it's. You got to take the safety course.
I didn't realize that the revolver part was considered the chamber on a revolver. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you don't know. No.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Are there any cute boys in the Denver area that would teach Diana gun safety for a couple hours this weekend?
There was a boy that a couple of years ago taught me gun safety.
Yeah, well, you need a refresher course because you don't know which end of the revolver the chamber goes in.
Okay, so I don't necessarily know all the terminology. Okay, so I don't necessarily know what, you know, what this and that, you know, I mean, I know, like, looking at it, I know what each component does.
Let me ask you this. But let me ask you a gun safety question, and this will determine whether I think you should open carry without taking a class. Okay, two questions. One, can you fire, is your revolver one, does it have a hammer that you pull back?
Yes.
Okay, that's not one of the questions. All right, can you fire... Do you know if you can fire it without pulling that back?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you this. But you know that when you pull it back, it's a lot easier to pull the trigger, right?
Of course.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you pull it back, like let's say you're in a situation where you think you're going to have to fire accurately, so you pull it back, and then you don't have to fire, how do you return it safely to its upright tray carry position?
Okay, so hold the trigger very like tightly while I very gently release the hammer and then release the trigger.
Very good. But where are you pointing the gun while you're doing that?
Down.
Into some dirt.
Yep.
Not in. Okay. Maybe you can, Carrie. So the two in the chamber, you get Lewis saying that he's quoting the line from Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, from this rap song Nima Vidati and I wrote, where we say, I'm so hard, B, that rhymes with itch, I carry two in the chamber, which is impossible, except there's a certain gun made by the Chris company that does fire two in one, in the same chamber, and it's not like a machine gun. It's like they're in the same chamber. It's weird. They're electrically ignited bullets. They're not hit with a hammer. So that line came while Nima and I were editing the movie. We were looking at this Mosin Nagant, and like they have a pretty bright muzzle flash even during the day, but to really make it pop in this video, like it wasn't really popping, like, so you go, man, that's a big muzzle flash. We cheated. We did some Hollywood magic. We doubled the frame. The muzzle flash was in one frame, and we doubled it to be in two frames, and then that just looked spectacular. And then we wrote that line around it, and then put that image over it in the video. So,
that's cool.
It's been a while since I've seen that. I need to watch it again.
Yeah, you should watch the, go to gunsandweed.com, and because the updated director's cut version is there that I cut after showing the old cut at Porkfest and going like, what's all this constitution licking in a movie I made? What is this? So
I made the, who is this person? I don't know that person anymore.
I made the Speedo free cut as soon as we got home. Yeah. How about you, Derek? When you look at your documentary film, is there anything you want to change now that it's
been
a few
years? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Didn't you do a shorter version of it?
Yeah, wow. There's a shorter version. There's a 10-second version that someone else edited.
Which is
that's
what?
Worth
just
looking
getting
up.
Arrested and then getting out?
Yeah, I think it's the hello to the stop sign woman, the crossing guard who hits me with her sign. And then I'm in jail and then it's over. And then there's a 60-minute version that I did for Film Fests. And I think that's the best cut. That's the most recent version. So if people are looking for a good, clean movie, good for the family and fun.
Cussing in that version?
Cussing
out?
Probably not. I think it's probably in there. So it's good for your family if they're mature. Victimlesscrimesfree.com.
I'm celebrating a birthday today. I have 6 months on CPAP today.
Wow.
Yay!
You know, you're breathing better? I am breathing better. And that's why last night's show is called There's Light at the End of the Colon, because I'm feeling slightly better overall for a lot of reasons.
How did you give up not breathing while you sleep?
Well, I was happy to. It wasn't hard.
Well,
I'm just checking. Fun.
Yeah. We're doing like birthday stuff. You know, we mentioned Victimless Crime Spree. I had 5 years ago, my birthday, I had that in jail.
Wow.
So that was a bummer. It was so much better to not be in jail. Did I become a man? I don't know what that means.
Look, this is something someone should tweet. Libertarian bar mitzvah, having your birthday in jail.
No, it's cool. There's like a tradition in jails where they take what they've got, like tasty cakes or like honey buns, and they make a cake if they like you. If they don't like it, I won't tell you what they do if they don't like it.
When we come back from the safe space, I'm going to tell how I spent my 27th birthday not beating a woman.
Oh, my God.
It was tough.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, there's some Squisscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the... you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Two designs for
Fiendphone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
I was just gonna say that the one that came out in the paper, the actual paper, the Quebecois paper, I thought it was pretty fair. I mean, it didn't make the pork festians like look completely
pork
horrible.
Festians.
The pork festians.
That's awesome.
It didn't make them, you know, look really, really bad, like a bunch of, you know, stone people carrying weapons around and stuff like that. But the one online was kind of bad.
I know. I think you should open carry a club and just people should dress as cavemen and just open carry clubs.
Well, actually, I think it was either last year or the year before this, somebody was dressed like a caveman, was basically wearing a loincloth the whole time. Yeah.
Derek was asking basically. During the break, where you guys should bring the French press, as I call them, the press from France, the French press, to open carry and freak them out. And I said, you know, you're like, you said the grocery store, and then I said Gigi Allen's grave. And then I was like, no, man, in a police station, because that's happened legally without bloodshed or arrest in New Hampshire. And that,
of course,
that would be the freakiest thing in the world to the French.
Especially to them, yeah. Wow, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, don't expect them to, like, be favorable, though.
Yeah, so all the fiends are going down, open carrying, to the local police station at Porkfest one day.
And Derek, I will be following your lead.
You should be live tweeting it so I can feel like I'm part of it.
Okay, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Video streaming on Periscope.
You left us hanging. What were you doing on your 27th birthday, man?
Not
29th.
No, 27th, same as Derek.
Oh, it's 27th? Oh, okay.
I was not beating a woman. I've never hit a woman in anger. I mean, I was, you know, slapped them on the bottom when they wanted it and stuff, but that's not hitting a woman.
Wow.
I've never
beaten your lover, not your child.
That's right.
Yeah. The woman I wasn't beating on my 27th birthday, I was going so far out of my way not to hit this woman. Now, that sounds insane, but put it this way. If she'd been a dude, I would have hit her about 20 times throughout that night. It was my girlfriend. We were in a really codependent relationship. I was an alcoholic. I had some part in this. But she was nuts and would not leave me alone. Like, I wanted to just go in the other room. You know, I was sick of her chattering at me, and I was just like, leave me alone. I'm going to go sleep on the kitchen floor. Leave me alone. She just came in and started
under the table,
talking over my face, and you don't love me. And I'm like, leave me alone. Leave me alone. And I was like, I'm getting out of here. This is like 2:30 in the morning, you know, after we'd been at bar all night. And Anne brought another girl home and had sex with her, and then she'd left, and then it somehow turned into an argument. Not about that. That was fine. That was the best part of the night. So I tried to get on my bicycle to ride away from her, and she just like blocked me physically from getting on it. Like, I couldn't.
In your house, you're on a bicycle?
No, outside the house. Like I got out of the house, and I'm trying to get away from her, and she's following me down the street, yelling at me, "You don't love me. Talk to me. We need to talk. We need to talk about our feelings."
And what a harpy.
I was literally trying to get arrested to get away from her. Like, I walked up in front of a cop car and started, like I pounded on the hood. And the cop car, like, saw the girl chasing me. And they just, like, drove around me and laughed and drove away. I couldn't get arrested on my 27th birthday. And then
she tried to bike block you.
She kept following me for, like, blocks, screaming at me down the street. I'm just like, get away from me.
How embarrassing.
I was like, get away from me or I'm going to hit you. I just kept saying that to her. And she said, go ahead and hit me. Yeah, yeah. Like, screaming, like, three inches away from my face as I'm walking as fast as I can out of her life down the street. And I finally climbed a wall that she couldn't climb and dropped into this garden with two Dobermans in it on chains.
Oh,
barking at me and like ran around them and then like went through some other alleys and ended up like she kept following me. And then I'm like, wow, I finally got away from her. I have nowhere to go. It's 4:40 in the morning. And I actually went to this rehearsal space where my band had previously practiced. And I'll put in a plug for them. Lennon Studios, run by Carol Lennon, L-E-N-N-O-N, in San Francisco. And I banged on the door, and Carol woke up and let me in and let me sleep on one of the couches in the rehearsal space. And it was like, and she even brought me a sheet, and it was completely dark and soundproofed. And I just shut the door and went, and fell asleep.
When you're running away from your girlfriend and the Lennon Dobermans in a yard is better than being around the woman.
Hey, Michael, this is completely off topic, but I just happened to notice a post on Facebook that Nicole Feenwoim posted. She bip-cotted Michael Keaton.
I saw that.
What?
She bip-cotted Michael Keaton, too, though. She's in a Michael Keaton talk, it looks like. It looks like a high school rally. Like, he looks like he's on a stage at a high school. And he's taking a selfie of himself with the audience. And she's holding up like a piece of paper with a Bipcot logo on it.
His
in the background. It's pretty awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Michael Keane is the next target. Somebody Bipcot him. The guy from Better Call Saul. And Squiggy, Lenny and Squiggy. And the singer in Spinal Tap.
McKean.
Oh, Michael
McKean. That's right. McKean. Yeah, I was like, Michael Keane.
Oh, Yeah.
Not Keaton. So,
no, we got Keaton. This could become a thing, like a list. Like, yes, I want you to Bipcot Madonna. Bipcot Sean Penn. Right up in his face.
Instead of like a Deadpool, it'll be like a Bipcot pool.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to guess on who gets Bipcotted.
Well, Sean Penn lives near San Francisco. He's probably sleeping at Lennon Studio tonight to get away from some woman.
Has anyone Bipcotted the Constitution yet?
No, but I like that.
Yeah.
Well, if you talk to the average Constitution licker, the government has Bipcotted it. They're not going anywhere near it.
That's true. Lou, did you gradually or suddenly quit being a Constitution licker in your life?
I was never really a Constitution licker. My constitutionalist phase may have lasted, I don't know, like a couple seconds.
there's a Fiends where Nima Vidadi's talking about the time he met me, and he came over to my house and DJ was making buffalo chili, and he said, yeah, Michael was watching Fox News and he showed me all his guns. That makes me sound really bad, man.
Oh, yeah.
Were you everybody's crazy uncle?
We all had to come from somewhere. Come on.
Now, Michael, when you were first sending emails to Nima, did you type in all caps?
No.
Did you send him dad spam?
He was like, get away from me, kid. You bother me. Get away from me, kid. You bother me.
Get away from me, grandpa. You bother me.
Like that same way Ben Stone was when I wrote him and said, I can help you improve your crappy audio. You should let me. I'll do it free. He didn't answer.
And you guys wound up being like the best of friends.
Still the best friends. He's my best friend other than my wife. Yep.
Aw.
And then you guys all together as one entity are
collectively we are best friends.
Yeah. Except for Nick, that little juvenile delinquent punk.
Yeah. Aw.
Wow.
Guys, pick on him.
No love.
No. I like him like more. He's like a son.
Yeah.
I've been sending him all my clothes that I'm like too fat to wear anymore now. He gets my hand-me-downs.
If I had a son, he'd look like Nick.
He would. Yeah. Worms.
Yeah. I can't wait to rent him out for child labor at Porkfest.
Ooh. So are you going to
auction off his purity?
Are we going to auction off his purity at Porkfest?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I think there should be an app for that. Like Arcade City for Knicks, where the sun don't shine.
What does he get? Anything?
No, he's our boy. He's our slave.
It's just okay.
He'll get a couple extra buttons.
He's our libertarian property. We built.
Yeah, he'll get a couple extra buttons. Which, by the way, Michael, the rest of us Fiends have gotten together, and we want an increase in our wages. We are fighting for 15 buttons. Freedom Fiends, fight for 15.
Fight for 15 buttons. Yeah, that's the name of the episode. Well, I just sent a bunch of buttons to Jeremy, and he's gonna have it at Porkfest. So, yeah, your buttons will be at the airport. The check's in the mail is what I'm basically saying.
Oh, okay.
The buttons are on their way. They'll meet you at Porkfest.
Nice.
Okay,
like a whole big bag of them and stuff that we can distribute.
Yeah, and everyone needs to bring all their Bipcot, or should bring all their Bipcot stuff to Porkfest.
I will. Yeah, I'm planning
on it. Flag high. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, one other thing about Hugo, quit outsourcing our jobs to Mexico.
Yeah. He'll do it for 1.5 buttons per hour.
Yeah. It's like Captain Mexico's always trying to take Captain America's job.
Yeah, but if you can find a host in India, the ones in India will do it for 1.5 buttons a week.
Ooh. Well, once we get them learned in the American way, they'll be fighting for 15 buttons, too.
Yeah, Mexican wages are cheap, but they ain't cheap like some places. India's cheap.
Cheap, 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 cheap.
Yeah, man.
So when you were asking about my constitutional liquor face, did this have something to do with phaser like face. People wearing a tinfoil Minstatus dunce cap?
A tinfoil minarchist hat. Yeah, I was at the doctor's today, just sitting there waiting for my allergy shot and decided to tweet tinfoil minarchist hat, which was the other choice for a show today. What is a minarchist hat? For those listening who like... Are listening to us between the best of Glenn Beck on the radio
and the fly fishing and Maserati repair
and the fly fishing and Maserati repair show. Yeah,
what how do you repair anarchist? Fly fishing?
It's not broke. Don't fix it. Lou, what's a minarchist?
Oh yeah, a mini-statist is somebody who believes in this delusional unicorn called limited government. And yeah. They had this idea that there's this night watchman state that won't turn into police brutality, that it can actually stay a night watchman state. And they're kind of delirious. You know, it's also people that believe that lions and tigers can be vegetarians. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Now, to go a little bit further, when somebody says, well, let me put on my mini-statist dunce cap, somebody would say, well, let me use my minarchist hat here. Let me put that on because I'm gonna change my way of thinking for a minute. And I say they put on their mini-statist dunce cap because you have to be a dunce to believe in min-statism.
Derek?
I don't even talk to minarchists. I don't know any. The coolest thing that happened recently is this group of people went to coffee with a cop. And I was really turned off by it. Like, why do you want to go have coffee with a cop?
But I know, yeah.
It turns out they could have some really productive chats. It was like a good, like, meeting. More of that.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Really?
Louis! Good for you. And that's your boss, too. Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, she's really? Trust me, she does. Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about this coffee with a cop.
So this is like a thing some police do. They schedule before their shift, usually from like 5 to 7 a.m., super early. You can go and have coffee and talk with the cops. And they're off duty. They're probably in uniform. And it's a way to have like a community gathering for people, you know? And most people, they just want a hero worship. But a few activists who were attending a city hall meeting later that day wanted to go and just make themselves known, like know the police as people before like seeing them in their minds as some kind of enemy, or like maybe you could work with them, maybe you could talk with them so that they don't do horrible things like lock down the city and point guns at people, which is what they're doing.
Right.
So anyway, I think it's a good story. I want to do this myself. I was inspired seeing people go have coffee with the cop. It would sound like something I would never want to do. Like, I try and avoid them all the time. If I see their lights, like, my camera comes out. But
yeah.
This is one way to, like, get into your comfort or out of your comfort zone and make a new situation comfortable. Maybe we could be on a first-name basis. Maybe they would, I don't know, maybe listen. Maybe it's a pipe dream.
You know, when you tell the story, it really inspires me, and I have a couple of questions that I would like to ask. I'm sure Diana has one or two, and after I let you know what mine are, I'm sure she'll share hers. My first question would be, if the police department and the court and, well, just the local government in general did not receive the money from traffic fines and other violations, like let's say that money went to the charity of the offender, I'm using the air quotes, went to the so-called offender's choice.
Your air quotes.
Yeah, or let's say the offender had to put that money in a 401k plan that he or she couldn't touch until later on down the road. But the bottom line is, if the local government didn't get the money, how many traffic tickets would be written? My guess is it would probably be somewhere around zero, unless the cop was having a really bad day and just really wanted to take it out on somebody else because he could, because cops are scum. And then my other question would be, I noticed that when cops give traffic tickets and they bust people for malum prohibitum stuff, you know, illegal because some idiot politician said so, they'll use that reflexive excuse of, well, I'm just doing my job, or, you know, I don't make the laws, I just enforce them.
Right.
But I would be willing to bet that if a cop actually arrested a serial rapist or arrested an actual murderer, I don't say, hey, look, buddy, I'm just doing my job. You know, I don't want to arrest you for murder or being a serial rapist, but, you know, the politicians say I have to do it. You know,
yeah.
I'm just doing my job. So, I mean,
that's so weak.
Yeah, so what the way that I see it is, when they say this, just doing my job, or I don't write the laws, I just enforce them, what they're trying to do is they're trying to rationalize the fact that they know that they are tax-collecting, parasitic, welfare whore road pirates, and, you know, they're trying to shift blame from themselves to somebody else.
But it's okay. Let them do that. Let them do what they're going to do, because they are a bunch of pirates. But they're getting replaced, and I want them to be, like, eating donuts and drinking coffee instead of going out and hurting people. They're getting replaced by apps like Cell 411, where people are able to respond instantly to, you know, their friend's call for distress, a free app. And anyone could use it to even live stream the situation of what's going on. And I even see, like, companies gonna develop to take the place of the police. Like, I could see a company showing up to protect you if you hit out an alert for Cell 411.
Well, they already have in Detroit with Threat Management Center.
And that's right. That's a beautiful thing right there.
The whole reason that Threat Management exists is because the government cops cannot and will not serve and protect the public.
Yeah. So let them keep failing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
The more they fail, the more the alternatives get developed.
But they need to go out of business.
Yeah.
They are.
The door slammed shut on them.
Yeah, well, that goes back a little bit to the whole the Austin issue with the ride sharing and everything. Is that, you know, one of the reasons why Uber was so successful in Austin was because, you know, they would pick up people in areas and times of the day where taxi drivers wouldn't.
Yeah.
So
you remember when people said, "Hey, this works really good. Let's replace it with something else." It doesn't.
No.
Threat management, Uber, Lyft, all these things are solutions to problems.
Yeah.
Arcade City.
Rubik's Cubes and
and rides.
Rubik's Cubes and ride sharing. Yay.
Yeah. Right on.
Well, thanks for coming on, guys. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, you too.
Happy birthday to our partner in victimless crime, Derek J.
Rock and roll.
Woo.
Yeah, and for more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.